Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Pearlman. My guest is singer, songwriter, and guitarist Jen Cork. Cork was raised in a musical family and sang with a women's a cappella group at the Crane School of Music while attending SUNY Potsdam. She was co-creator of her first band, a country soul group called the Black Walnut Band, and she was with the folk duo Sundown Sally before going solo to start her current jazz folk quartet, The Good Hope, in 2012. Jen Cork and The Good Hope released their debut CD last spring. It's called Forever to Fall and was named one of the top local albums of 2015. Cork was also recognized by the local Jimmy Awards as last year's best female vocalist. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you mentioned that you came from a musical family. So tell us about that. What was going on? Did they encourage you?
Oh, yes, very much. You know, they started me in piano when I was about six. And you know, my parents were both musical, are both musical. They don't always act like it, but they are. It's in there. And their parents were, most of them are musical. My dad's dad was a professional keyboard player.
So it's in your blood. It's absolutely in your blood.
I think so.
So when did you decide that you wanted to, you know, play guitar, become a singer-songwriter, the tradition, you know? And when did you start actually composing songs?
Well, I started guitar at age 13 after, I was always singing. And actually, I think I was writing before I was singing. After camp, a church camp, I got very inspired by our camp music leader, and she taught me some chords, and my dad taught me House of the Rising Sun, which is still one of my favorite songs.
It's one of my favorite songs, too. Yeah, I love folk music, too. And so you segued from that to start writing your own music to suit your own voice, I assume.
Yeah, that was a long process.
Yeah?
It took a long time. And actually, it was probably only 5 years or so that I actually made the mental shift to, I am a songwriter, which is feels odd because I've been doing it for so long.
So you felt like you were just dabbling before that, huh?
Not with music in general, but with writing.
Songwriting,
I was doing it, but
That's interesting. You know, I've had a lot of people come on who do write songs who say it took some kind of, I don't know, epiphany or something for them to realize that they really are a songwriter, you know? I wonder if somebody like Joni Mitchell went through that.
Yeah.
Now, did you always think of yourself as going to have a career, and was it going to be a solo career ever? Or, I know you say you like to collaborate, so.
I do. I always wanted to be playing music. That's all I really wanted to be doing. But I spent a lot of my life afraid of myself.
Really?
of doing things, you know, of making waves and, you know.
So you didn't really want to stand out, huh?
Right. But at the same time, I did. I just was, yeah.
So would you say in some ways you have some kind of stage fright? Would it be that elaborate?
I don't think so. I love being on stage. That's one of the few places I feel absolutely at home, although probably doesn't always come across that way.
Since you come off as shy probably sometimes,
yeah.
Because you are, right? I mean,
yes, I guess I am.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I want to play an excerpt from Forever to Fall. This one's called So Far to Go. You want to tell us a bit about it? Your
sure.
Writing is just compelling, and obviously I've told you your voice is amazing. So tell us about this song.
Thank you. So Far to Go. I wrote that probably 2008-ish. I was feeling like I needed to have to be at the finish line right now with a lot of things, and music in particular. And that song was kind of a, you're okay. Like, don't hurt yourself here. You know,
yeah.
Relax and you'll get where you need to go, and just take your time.
Well, let's listen to a bit of it.
I see right here in front of me who I would like to be one day. You know I've got so far to go, but with you to love me so I'll get there one day. We are trying to touch a star, that we never get that far. is okay. I know you've got so far to go, but with me to love you, so you'll get there one day. And you never know, dear, how much I love you.
I swear, your voice is just amazing to me. Now, tell us about your style. I mean, you're hard to categorize. Jazz, blues, folk, you use all those descriptions. Where do you see yourself, though? I mean, what have been in your influences?
I see myself singing everything, honestly. I love singing everything.
Uh-huh. But blues seems to be, I mean, the phrasing that you've come up with, it sounds, you know, Billie Holiday-ish because it's so different. Mm. And it sounds bluesy, jazzy to me.
Yeah, I love that. I love, like, I'm drawn to these really honest genres, I feel like New Orleans jazz and blues and folk music. They're very straightforward and, like, they're not small talk, you know?
Yeah, they're steeped in people's real experiences.
Yeah. And
Well, that comes across in your music and in your writing, obviously. Now, tell us about the band, The Good Hope. They're great. They're absolutely wonderful. Was this something that was organically just put together, or did it take a lot of struggle to come up with that sound?
It was not a struggle. It was beautifully simple. I had been, you know, the idea of that band had been forming in my head for a couple of years, and I even had the name and I was all ready to go, and I was like, I want the best guys I can find and the best musicians I could find, and I got excellent recommendations for Harry Aceto and Brian Earle.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. And Molly McMillan playing the piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, yeah.
It started out with just Harry and Brian, though, and me, and I emailed them and sent them some scratch tracks, and they were into it. And
did you have a vision when you did that for this CD that it would be kind of a blues jazz thing? I mean, did they help with the arrangements?
The CD wasn't really a formed idea, I think, at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd always wanted to record, but it wasn't a full idea at that point. I just needed to get this stuff out of me. You know, I needed to have a way to... I mean, these songs were born with clarinet in them and bass, and later on the drums came in.
The clarinet, that was the first thing I thought, whoa, she's got this incredible clarinet in this.
Yeah,
this is not
Brian.
Like some of the music I hear around here, you know. Really interesting. The title, Forever to Fall, it could have so many different meanings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd like Madman, the guy falling down into the into the pit, or Forever to Fall, like waiting for the season to happen, or what was the idea behind that title?
Well, it is the first lyric on the CD, which some people think is silly, but whatever.
No, that makes sense.
That's not why it's the title of the CD. It worked the best. Just happens to be there. But the first lyric of the song is "It took forever to fall. I remember it all. You sinking down, down, down to where I can't hear you call." And it was actually from a dream that I had about a friend of mine who fell out of a tree and was falling into the water. And I had just heard this story on NPR, I think, where they were talking about when you're in a crisis situation, your brain remembers more details.
Oh, yeah.
And so that, like in my dream, I remembered like every split second of her falling, and it just seemed to take a really long time. So that's what that is.
So that's why you titled it that. Wow. So
it also took me forever to make that.
I was just going to say, is that in correlation for how long it took to make the scene? I love the title because it has so many different meanings. It's I find it really poetic.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, you moved to Ithaca about 12 years ago. Have you been inspired by the landscape like every other writer, poet, and songwriter I've met?
Yes.
Tell us about that. You say you sing into the waterfall.
This area just blows my mind on a regular basis. I live right diagonal from Ithaca Falls. So I can hear it from my porch sometimes. And it's
it's part of the music of your day, right?
Yeah. Huh? And I do a lot of hiking around and just walking around downtown. I write best and I think best when I'm moving, you know, as most people do probably. So just going for a walk down to a waterfall could be like a whole song could come out.
Do you actually bring something with you to write with? Or?
Well, now that I have my handy smartphone, I don't need any paper.
Yeah, but we do not want to see Jen Cork fall into a gorge. So be sure not to be looking at your phone while you're walking through the gorges being inspired, right?
I may have a record. Not the good kind.
Yeah, Into the Falls. And
yeah, that's the next album.
But nature must inspire you. But you write a lot about personal relationships and, you know, so you know, while you're out with nature, you're also brooding about
yes,
real life,
lots of
right?
Brooding.
Yeah.
Our relationships are probably the thing I think about most, really.
Yeah, it's the fodder for many songwriters. Mm. And it's what causes the blues, right?
Yeah.
Now, the music scene in this town is incredibly vigorous and varied and ranging in different genres. Was it hard for you to get involved in it? Or did you find a place immediately?
I was given an excellent introduction because a friend of mine, Adam Levine, who lives in town and knows everybody, I think, he gave me my first gig at the Shanty Loft. He had me open for a blues guy, Robert Ross, and then Leah Hotelling and Amelia Sauter were there from Felicia's, they asked me to play at Felicia's. So then that kind of went from there.
It took off. If you're just joining us, my guest is Jen Cork. She's a singer, songwriter, and guitarist, and we're talking about her debut CD, which came out last year, called Forever to Fall. Now, I want to play another excerpt from Forever to Fall. This one is called Do What You Love. Now, was this you trying to talk yourself into doing what you love? It's a great, jazzy, wonderful tune.
It was kind of after the fact. Like, I spent, as I mentioned, so much of my time being scared, and I finally at this moment where I was, nobody's going to do it for you. If you want your dreams to come true, you have to actually do something about it. So it's very personal.
Let's listen to an excerpt from it.
Sit and wait for you anymore. Turns out the life you live don't have to be a chore. When what you're doing is moving you to your core. Do what you love, love what you do. Do what you love, no one can do it for you. Do what you love.
I've already told you how much I love your voice. And you seem so shy. You're a different person, obviously, when you get behind the mic with your music.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm also a different person when I'm not being interviewed.
Well, I'm sure that's probably true, too. Do you start out writing mainly for your voice and then the music comes in? Or how does that work for your writing?
No, the writing, I think it started out with wanting to just get things out and then it slowly turned into writing for my voice, and I'm still working on that, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was, I remember the first song, which we may hear part of, Take Me Down. That was the first song where I really felt like I was writing from the right place and coming out right. And
wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm sure it is a process, because it's a whole new way of showing yourself, right, and being in the world in some ways.
Yeah.
Tell us how you take care of your voice. It's obviously an instrument, and it obviously needs some kind of care. Did you do voice lessons, or do you practice? Or?
Well, I did not have voice lessons. I always sang in choirs, you know, from age 5 and on. I've always been in a choir, through college anyway. So there was always a lot of singing going on, which is practice. I don't actually have a practice regimen, which I probably should.
Well, you probably won't need to worry about that until you get older. You know, people like Joan Baez, they've said they had to go back and take lessons because their voices were changing and getting deeper.
Yeah.
Had to adapt.
Yeah. I feel like with any, you know, muscle building, though, the stronger bass you give it earlier on, like I feel like I should start now.
Yes, do.
For success.
We cannot lose this wonderful instrument. I would recommend that highly. Now, let's play another excerpt from Forever to Fall. This one's called The Well. Mm-hmm. And this one's, you know, it's kind of like a folky, anthem-y kind of thing. Tell us about it.
The Well is about loss, but also harmony, which is more fun. That was one of the most fun songs to record, with all the harmony lines. That was good. That is one of my favorite things to do, sing harmony.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Well, let's listen to this excerpt, The Well. I'll bet it was fun. Yeah, and I almost kind of wanted to dance when I first heard it. It's really nice, yeah. Now, what's it like for you to perform live? Do you get scared? I mean, you have this beautiful product, so I would assume you feel some confidence now, right?
It's getting easier. When I started playing around town, I wouldn't be able to eat the day of a show. Like, I was so nervous. Ah. My stomach would be in knots, And now, I mean, with anything, the more you do it, the easier it is. And it's, you know, there are parts of it that are becoming second nature to me, which is really nice. So I can focus on, you know, making the show better. And
uh-huh. Are you able to interface with the audience, or do you mainly just stay by yourself? And I've seen performers do that. I saw Joni Mitchell do that years ago.
Huh.
When she, early on, she kept her back to the audience during half the concert.
Yeah.
But so you can interact, though, right?
Yeah. There are times when I've wanted to have my back to the audience, but that gets a lot easier. And, you know, the more relaxed I am, the better the show is anyway.
Sure.
I try to just, you know, prepare well, for one thing. That's the biggest.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, it's going to happen the way it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And having confidence helps you carry on from there, too,
sure.
Right? I mean, you must know now you have a really great product. I would think.
I'm working on it.
Now, you actually describe your work as fictional folk jazz and real-life lessons learned. So, talk to us a little bit about that. What do you mean by fictional folk jazz? And is it like folk music? You're telling stories, like fictional stories?
Yeah. Some of it, like All of Me, the first song on the album, is not all fiction. Like, parts of it are from different parts of my life, but the story in general, is the way it comes together, is fictional.
Yeah, most songs are trying to tell a story. That's why they're so hard to write.
Right.
You know, because you just have this certain few minutes to have to tell an entire story. Now, I want to play a final cut from the CD. This one's called Take Me Down. Tell us about this one.
This is the one that was the first time I really felt like my true voice was coming out. Mm-hmm. And the song is about letting different parts of yourself that you don't like so much go and kind of forgiving yourself for them, or asking yourself for forgiveness for them. It's good.
It's a personal
something
song.
I needed to get out.
Well, let's listen to it. This is called Take Me Down.
At times she's careless with me. You is off at sea. She has me pining away for peaceful dreams. She's sometimes careless with me. Takes a very naughty girl. Do a thing like that. She will never, never learn. She's a very naughty girl. Take me down. Help me drown.
Yeah, I can. You know, you can tell this is a personal, a personal song. I was thinking that when I first read it.
It's fun to
first
play.
Heard it.
Fun to sing.
Yeah. Now, talk to us just a little bit about the fact that you also sing harmony with Rockwood Fairy, and you, mm-hmm. you're with some other groups like Janet Batch. I'd never heard of Janet Batch. To tell us about that, you do like to collaborate, and is it entirely different, Jen, when you're not doing your own thing?
Well, I don't have as much control over it, so yes, probably it takes practice to sit back and let other people be in charge.
Really? I would think you might like that, though, because then you can, you know, you don't have to take total responsibility for it all.
Yeah, yeah, it is nice.
Do you think you're going to still continue to collaborate, or are you going to mainly build your own band and career and songwriting?
I'm trying to figure that out right now. I feel like I'm in a kind of a transitional space. Mm. Like, there's so much other music that I want to sing and write and play that isn't necessarily in the box that I'm in right now with the Good Hope.
So tell us about that, though. What do you mean by that? You want to go more solo and just do guitar and voice?
Not necessarily. I do love having a band. I love playing with the band. I'm trying to figure out where my writing is going. I'm trying to find my focus right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy playing with the Good Hope, and as well as the collaborations. Yeah, Rockwood Fairy is amazing to sing with.
Oh, they're great.
Kenzie is so talented.
Yeah.
And Janet Batch is this amazing writer friend of mine who puts these songs out with the realest stuff. Like, she's fantastic. And yeah, that's a great band. That's really fun to be part of.
Have they recorded?
We are doing that in late February, I believe.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully
nice.
That will.
Do you find yourself inspired as a songwriter by doing these other gigs too and listening to other people's takes on life and experience?
Oh, yeah. Hearing anybody else's writing is always inspiring. I have often found myself at live music shows writing in my head while I'm listening. Like,
really?
Not necessarily like lyrics specifically, but just, I don't know, feeling something that's inspired by what they're doing. I'm also trying to listen to them. Not to be disrespectful.
Do you worry about being vulnerable, though? I asked Janice Ian this, too, because she writes so many personal songs and has, mm-hmm. you know, for the last 40 years. Do you feel, I mean, do you sometimes pull yourself back from going, I don't know if I want people to know this about me or this about my, you know, breakup or whatever it is. Do you stop yourself and censor yourself sometimes?
Yes, I do. You know, being vulnerable is always hard. But that's where the best stuff comes from. So try hard not to too much. And I'm getting better at that. And I think my future writing will be even more honest. And
so you try not to censor? Yeah, I can see why you try not. I mean, that's part of the art, right? To be able to show who you are. That's
right.
People trying to emerge from that cocoon of self
and
show themselves somehow. Well, do you have anything to say about women in the business, though? I mean, I've had so many people on who talk about the pressure of looking a certain way or, mm-hmm. you know, being hassled by guys. And, you know, I mean, hit on all the time. No, seriously. I mean,
I don't have that problem. Oddly,
do you feel, and as a woman performer, there's a different expectation? I mean, you work with men and women. Is it a different feeling for you and a need when you're out there in the public?
In Ithaca, which is really, I haven't done much performing outside of Ithaca, but I do feel a certain amount of pressure to, I guess, keep myself looking a certain way.
I mean, you have to put on your jazz singer genre kind of thing.
Right, and that's part, yeah. That's my choice. Like, I love dressing up and, uh-huh. you know, wearing pretty dresses and uh-huh. singing jazz. That's super fun. But when I play with Janet Batch, I don't worry about it as much. I mean, yeah, it depends on the genre and, it, like, what I'm trying to present, you know. But, yeah, I have felt times where I definitely realized I was the only woman in the room.
Ah.
And nothing big, but it's happened. I don't think I could even describe a situation, but I know I've felt it.
Are you, when you're writing your stuff and performing, are you trying to communicate with women? I young women are still looking for role models all over the place, you know,
sure.
in every arena. Do you feel the kind of the weight of being a role model and speaking for women in some ways?
I haven't put a ton of emphasis on that. I don't know, that requires one taking oneself a little bit seriously.
But you are taking yourself seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I can see if, yes, I see how it would be important for me to think about that, and I will. And I, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for somebody who wants to do what you love? Right. I mean, that was why you wrote that song. Do you have any advice for somebody who might want to pursue writing and a career in music and performing?
Practice and collaborate and. You know, learn all you can from people and keep an open mind about it all. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, and learn to trust yourself too, right? I mean,
that's
part of the learning thing that probably every woman performer has to learn, mm-hmm. especially, you know, because mm-hmm. we're not supposed to want attention, and you know, if you're assertive, you're taking up too much space.
That's
really interesting. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes left. Can we expect any more songs, new writing? Are you going to be performing anywhere in the next few months?
Yes, actually. The Good Hope Quartet is playing at the Rongovian Embassy on Thursday, January 28th.
Okay.
It's a 7:30 dinner show. And we're playing at Two Goats in Hector on March 20th.
Oh, great.
That may have a slightly different lineup. I have been playing with this amazing violin player named Tim Ball lately.
Mm.
I've been really enjoying. He adds a little bit more versatility to some of the songs where clarinet doesn't quite fit.
Where do you play with him?
We played at the Finger Lakes Cider House a month or two ago. Hopefully he's playing with us at Two Goats.
Okay, great. Well, can you give people some contact information? Website, ways to get in touch, get the CD?
Yes, you can go to my Bandcamp page. It's Jen Cork and the Good Hope /bandcamp.com. And we have a Facebook page. You can buy the music through both of those. We're on iTunes. We're on Amazon.
Well, Jen Cork, thank you so much for joining us. Again, the CD is called Forever to Fall. Grab it, everybody, because this music is just wonderful. This woman's voice is amazing. Please go get the CD. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you so much.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.